Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can check out the archives, both in audio and video, at the archives page at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And thank you very much all for listening, and particularly thank you for those who donate on a regular basis, $5 a month, and for that you get the commercial-free archives and all sorts of other little goodies as well. No, actually, I'm lying. You don't really get anything out of it. Other than the reason people donate, I assume, based on no evidence, is that you just want me to keep doing what I'm doing. So I will. Today, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, which is interviews with all sorts of different people from all over the spectrum. People who disagree with each other, people who agree with each other, people who have fights and what have you like that. I'm kind of like the I'm kind of like a prostitute for truth. You know, whoever comes on the show, I just prostitute myself and attempt to promote them as best I can, regardless of whether or not I agree with them or disagree with them or anything like that. I just want to hear them out, find out who they are and what they do kind of thing. So today we have Glenn Kennedy, not Glenn Canada, but Glenn Kennedy with a Y. And I believe his website is project.insearch.com. /profile/ Glenn Kennedy is the one that I'm particularly looking at the moment, but in general, just project.insearch.com. And he has written a number of articles for beforeitsnews.com, including analysis of Stu Webb, who has exposed people like Alex Jones and the Illuminati, as well as Pete Santilli on similar bases, as well as a number of other topics as well, including Veterans Today editor Gordon Duff and the many different topics that he aspires to talk about as well. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
May I ask just kind of what actually got you into this form of research and thingies, and more to the point, I'm relatively unfamiliar with you and the things that you do, so I'd love an even better recap than I gave.
Sure.
I assume is extremely possible.
I don't really know how I got into this crazy business, whatever you want to call it. I tell you, to this day, I still don't know. I guess at first I thought Alex Jones was real, you know, when he went out and said, start your own radio show, start your own website. So I started Project InSearch, project.insearch.com. And at first it was just basically uncensored news, you know, kind of what you do. You talk the truth and you let the cards fall where they may. And then I started meeting different people and I was like, whoa, you know, this stuff is really deep. And, you know, when I first started, and I don't know which you want to cover, I guess we'll start maybe with the Alex Jones, because he's really what got me started, because I thought he was real. You know, I wanted to believe him. You know, I bought for my company, we were giving out his DVDs, his prizes. He was really the biggest thing out there as far as the most well-funded. So as I started, you know, and I really did believe him for a couple of years. And that's what I've talked to a lot of people, Stu Webb and a lot of others, and they all got sucked into him at the beginning too, because you can understand, you know, when you start looking into him, he sounds like he's real. I mean, he sounds like, I want to beat these guys, you know. I don't censor anything, you know, and he sounds very sincere. He's a funny guy. He's a likable guy. I mean, I wanted to believe in him the whole time, and I did believe him for several years. And it's funny because I have some people attacking me now because, oh, you used to say that Alex Jones was wonderful. Yeah, it's called changing your mind when you get more information. It's not a sin to make a mistake. It's only a sin if you don't admit your mistakes when you find out.
And, Mark Twain, I think it was Mark Twain that said, when an honest man is confronted with the truth that he is wrong, he will either cease to be wrong or cease to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to make, you know, when you make a mistake, it's everybody makes mistakes. When you find out you made a mistake, you correct it. And that's what I did with Alex Jones. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I never take any one person's, because I had a lot of people saying, Alex Jones is bad. And I said, well, why is he bad? Why is it? They can never give me a reason. You know, and I was like, look, I'm not going to throw somebody in the bus, underneath the bus, unless I know for a fact I see the evidence for myself. So, you know, I started digging around. You know, I've seen, you know, you probably seen, if you type in Alex Jones Austin gun rally, you know, that was the first thing that said, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. Here you see Alex Jones screaming at some lady's face, get out of my face. And then he calls her COINTEL the next day. And she was the one that invited him to the rally. He was just acting very strange. And I went down to Orlando to try to meet him one time. And I talked to actually Aaron Dykes, who was running the cameras in the back. And, you know, just asked, hey, you know, is Alex going to stay? Because I was still believing in Alex even in Orlando. And I just wanted to shake his hand, look him in the eye face to face, you know, just to get a feel for the guy. And I said, hey, is he going to stick around afterwards? And he says, oh, yeah, I'm sure we'll stick around for 20 or 30 minutes. And I was like, cool. So afterwards, you know, he just got out of there really fast. And that was actually the last conference that he gave, the one in Orlando. He was supposed to go to more, and I never understood why he canceled all that. So I never got to meet him. And I not too long after that, I started, I met Stu Webb and got his information. And you've interviewed him, but I've seen that before, so you're well aware of his information. And his information was basically that he had met Stu Webb 10 years ago. And for those of you that don't know about Stu Webb, he's what I consider a super patriot. He's a guy that's paid his dues, who's actually gone out there for over 28 years. He broke the 9/11 story 3 months before it happened, over 3 months before. But Alex Jones wants everybody to believe that he is the only one that came out with it before, but he actually only came out with it about a month before. So here's Stu Webb and Cooper and everybody was way out in front of this thing. And Gore, and of course, Alex never gives anybody else credit. It's always me, 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 me. Stu Webb's information was, before he found out from his sources about Alex Jones, he asked Alex Jones for help. You know, he basically wanted to get on his show and tell his story because, as you know, it's a very incredible story. I mean, he has got some amazing information that over 8 books have been written on this information. Even Jim Marr says a lot of his information comes from his website and his investigation. So the guy's
The short stack of which is he married a daughter of one of the members of the Illuminati S type people, and ever since then, you know, he's had everything bad happen for him. They right. even burnt down his house.
Yeah, they burnt down a client's house that he was working on, and it wasn't even insured. So, you know, that was not a good deal. And they tried to kill him multiple times, including multiple car accidents that were FBI personnel. So anybody that says that Stu Webb is a shill or a COINTEL, that person is a Fed or working for a Fed, guaranteed, or they're just dumb. Because the only people that say he's a Fed is like the idiots over at Educate Yourself. If you type in Stu Webb and see any negative information, it's always from Educate Yourself or whatever it is. That's
what
a shill
site. What does the word educate mean? As far as I know, it means indoctrinate. So is it indoctrinateyourself.com?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That guy's on government payroll, guaranteed. In fact, he's being named in Stu's lawsuits, and he will get revenge on these people that are employed by the government lying about him. But, you know, so to make a long story short about Stu Webb, he basically, before he knew about Alex Jones, he started talking to his personnel. And in fact, one of the people that worked for him actually stopped by Stu's house and got some documents because he wanted to show him some real stuff. And said, you know, I'm not a crackpot. Here's some real, you know, documents right in your face. And so he brought him back to Alex Jones, of course, and he hemmed and hawed and never really committed to getting him on the show, which is a lot of people you hear about, you know, including Tila Tequila, whatever her name is. She was supposed to get on there and divulge a bunch of secrets. And then the day of the show, she calls in and they say, oh, we can't have you on all of a sudden, you know, after she had already told him everything she knew just about in pre-interview type stuff. So that's called a honeypot. You know, that's bogus right there. There is no excuse why he shouldn't have put her on and got all the information and let her get that information out. So anyway, so he gets all the information to Alex, and Alex is hemming and hawing. And around that time, his intel sources say, what are you doing? Alex is COINTEL. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, he works for FBI, and he's got a CIA handler named Norvell and all this stuff. So Alex starts, you know, saying, hey, you know, why aren't you getting me on the show? And finally, he kind of gets stop Alex and says, is it true that your handler is Norvell? And somebody that was in the room, I believe it was Statmiller, John Statmiller, was on the phone and was in the office or whatever with Alex Jones and said that all of a sudden that he didn't hear anything from Alex when he said that. And he says, hello, hello, John, what's going on? And he goes, Alex just turned white as a ghost and walked out the room. So, you know, that gives me just one piece of evidence. Again, I don't base my, even though I trust New Web more than just about anybody in this alternative business, I still wouldn't throw somebody under the bus on one person. So I go out and I find Dr. Coldwell. And I don't know if you've ever seen that clip that I've got, but if you just Google, Dr. Coldwell.
I won't be able to watch it while we're on air. Yes.
Yeah. But just type in Dr. Coldwell and Alex Jones, and you'll get the YouTube video. But basically, I did an interview with Coldwell, who's curing over 92% of cancers, and it's actually about 99% if you don't do the chemo. So we've interviewed him many times on In Search Radio before we changed our format to be Christian based. But anyway, I asked Coldwell point blank at a conference before I even knew anything about Alex, and I still thought he was real. I said, how come I've never heard you on Alex Jones? And he goes, oh, yeah, no, because Alex isn't about solutions. I've had four different doctors that have been on the Alex Jones show tell him to get me on the show. And Mike Adams, who, as you know, is a co-host over there and runs the show when Alex isn't there, that begged Alex to get me on the show. He won't do it. And I'm like, whoa. Here's a guy that's cured over 100,000 people of cancer, which is more than anybody on the planet. He's got the highest cure rate. And Alex Jones doesn't want to give this guy 10 minutes of airtime? I mean, please. I mean, you can run commercials forever on five-star soap and all this garbage that doesn't save anybody's life, but you can't tell your fans about Alex Jones. And I guess I kind of took it personal because when I was first starting to listen to Alex Jones, my dad was dying of cancer, and my dad died 3 years ago. So it made me upset. I'm not blaming Alex for the death of my father, but I'm blaming him because I know 100%, because at first I said, well, maybe Alex didn't know about Dr. Coldwell, but now I know 100% that Alex was told about him many, many, many years before I even started listening to him. So all you people out there that know anything about Alex Jones, ask yourself a question. Why would a patriot teller ever want to censor Dr. Coldwell from anybody? Okay. I know you wouldn't do it, Vinny. I know you've had Stu Webb on your show. I know you're real, okay? But when you don't put
I just kind of have callous disregard and a lack of professionalism. I just kind of have anybody on the show.
Well, I would rather have you have anybody on the show than actually be a censoring stooge, you know, because that shows that you don't have a bias, you know. You're not feeding me by spoon and saying, look, you need to believe this. You need to believe only this. And that's what I respect about
people. That's probably because half the time I don't know what I believe, because you get so much analysis from so many people that conflicts with each other. And I think it's like, if you want to actually base your life on something, you better be absolutely sure as to right. what you're thinking and what you're doing. And in the vast majority of the cases, I'm not entirely sure. So I reserve judgment almost on an infinitum basis.
Well, that's good, because, I mean, like I said, it took me years to figure out, you know, what really made sense to me regarding Alex Jones. And like I said, I don't take anybody's, just one person to two people. That's why I wrote the article, and you can see it right on the front page of project.insearch.com, right there in the featured section. And I've got all my proof on why I believe Alex Jones is a gatekeeper. And he's a gatekeeper. He doesn't want to tell you about Judy Wood, you know, and her incredible research on, you know, why those towers fell. You know, where did the towers go? I mean, you know all about that, Vinny. I mean, she's got some very, very good points that needed to be brought up. And when anybody ever told, I mean, for years people called into Alex Jones, what do you think about, well, you should get Judy Wood on the show. Oh, yeah, we'll look into that. And it's like, And then finally...
No, he doesn't say, we'll look into that. He says, oh, you mean Marvin the Martian and space beams.
Yeah, now he says space beams. But I did hear him say before, one time, but even earlier, he did say one time, we'll look into that just to throw people up. Now you're right. He did say space beams. It's like, no, it has nothing to do. She never says, we don't know exactly the technology they use. But let me tell you this. Nanothermite cannot burn cars, 1,600 cars up to six blocks away. Because if that was possible, all those people would be incinerated that were all around the scene, okay? So that doesn't make any sense. The nanothermite is a no-go BS. I don't really believe in the nano nukes or whatever, the micro nukes. I don't believe in it because that doesn't show me why those cars were burned six blocks later.
Hold on, we're coming up to a break now, Glenn. You know what the thing I can say about 9/11? I don't know what happened. I do know what didn't happen, though. What didn't happen is jet fuel melting steel. You know how I know that? Because it can't!
It's impossible.
Okay, we'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Glenn Kennedy. I think I really do have callous disregard. There's a rule in talk radio, in this kind of conspiracy talk radio. Don't talk about Alex Jones. Don't talk about it. All right. Seriously. You attack Alex Jones, you wind up being destroyed in some way, shape, or form. People love him. I used to love him. Until I had conversations with all of the people that used to work for him and work with him, who know him really, really well, and all the stories that they tell, even his best friends, former best friends and former producers and former that. I've spoken to so many people who've known him personally, people who've been on his show and everything like that. And the things that you hear are so disillusioning. It's like finding out that your father's a pedophile, kind of thing. You know, imagine you lived your entire life and you're perfectly happy, and he's never abused you or anything like that. You've never seen any evidence of this kind of thing, but then all of a sudden, all these children come out saying that he abused them while he was the head of the Catholic Church or something like that. That was kind of what it felt like to me. Because he was my prime inspiration for getting this radio show going. He was my prime inspiration for going out and exposing scumbaggery with a camera. Really, I would not exist. And in large part, the truth movement itself would not exist in the format that it is today and the size and the scope that it is today without him. But one thing that has been told to me by his former producer is that regardless of maybe the harm that he has caused and some of the dishonesty that he has wrought, it does not mean that he doesn't do a hell of a lot of good.
Right. I agree. I think everybody does a little bit of good. I kind of look at Alex sort of like a Glenn Beck 2.0, sort of like a better version of Glenn Beck. Everybody knows Glenn Beck is the Benedict Arnold. He doesn't tell near the truth of Alex Jones. Now, Alex Jones is the basically the top of the pyramid, I say, because he does tell 98% of the truth. He does do all good, and I do praise him for that. But here's my only problem. I don't mind, because I'm not even in this real game anymore. We've gone, InSearch Radio is now a completely Christian network. I've realized that the alternative media is led by mostly a bunch of fakes for the most part that have the control, and they're not really interested in solutions. I myself did not have the resources to to ever get to that level, nor do I even want to, because I realize now that my calling is to wake up as many people about God, you know, because God is the ultimate solution. I mean, the New World Order is pure evil. I mean, if you believe in good and evil, you believe in the devil and God, because that's the both extremes. So we're in a fight against the devil. So I now choose to step back. I still make an occasional post, but most of my time now is basically working on InSearch.com, which is our mothership, and it is all about spreading the word of God. But here's my big – this is the last thing I'll say really that gives me concern about Jones and why the only reason I'm exposing him is not because I want to tarnish the good that he's done. But here's the thing. If like I would consider you and what I used to be, we're like little sergeants out there, you know. We don't have the resources, we're not generals, we don't have the control of everything, but we were doing the best we could because Alex Jones told us, get a radio show, I'll support you. I'm here to build you up. Well, number one, I found out that was a lie because my old producer literally called him hundreds of times. Hundreds of emails. We had the best. We had one of the biggest shows on Blog Talk Radio at the time through InSearch Radio. And guess what? Guess how many responses we got from the quote general of the info war? Zero. Zero. That's right. So if he's my general, you know, I don't want any part of that because here I am. You know, I've been out there, and anybody in this field, all of you, including anybody that posts anything on Facebook, you are all my heroes because you're doing the work. You're out there putting your name on the line. You know as well as I do that everybody knows everything that you do, so they know that you're awake. You're all heroes in my book. So don't sit there and tell me to start a radio show and start a website, and then you're not going to support anybody but Alex Jones. And that's what he does. Or the only ones he'll support is the other shills out there like Intel Hub, who I've already uncovered as complete shills too, because they wouldn't interview Stu Webb either. For months and months, Bob Tuscan refused to do it, made all kinds of lame excuses. And that's the thing. You know who the shills are by a couple of things. Do they tell the truth about Lee Wanta? Do they tell the truth about Dr. Caldwell? And do they actually put Stu Webb on the air, one of the most dangerous men in the world, according to Karl Rove? He said that he was one of the top two most dangerous men. Who's he dangerous to? He's dangerous to the New World Order bad guys. But this is what I'm going to say about Alex. I've caught him in direct, blatant lies. Now, where do all lies come from? Lies come from the devil. It says right in the Bible, all lies come from the devil. He lied to his fans when he told them that Lee Wanta and his funds were as real as the Easter Bunny. Now, if you go Google Stu Webb and get on his website or Tom Hennigan and read those reports, you'll see. And go read the Gordon, you know, go to YouTube and type in Gordon Duff Stu Webb and go see that interview where he tells the truth about Lee Wanta. He's not the Easter Bunny, I can assure you, and those funds are real. And that's a huge deal because we've got him on tape sitting there saying that Lee Wanta, Ambassador Lee Wanta, was as real as the Easter Bunny to his fans. That is a blatant lie, and Alex Jones knows it. And probably the next time you see me come out hard is when those funds get put in the U.S. Treasury and Lee Wanta does an interview out there. I will put that in Alex Jones's face because that's a promise. I will do that because he lied and he needs to come clean on that direct lie. Now, it's also a lie to censor people, and we know that he's done that. He censored Judy Wood. He censored Caldwell. So that's why I do not trust, even regardless of whether you believe in Stu Webb sources or not, that he's FBI number five, regardless of that. If you can sit there and honestly say, well, it's okay that Alex Jones censored the best cancer doctor in the world, think of how many lives he could have saved. If he would have told everybody, hey, everybody, send Dr. Caldwell information to everybody in your email list. I mean, literally, he could have woken up probably 50 million people by now to Dr. Caldwell. But there's some evil force behind Alex Jones, or either Alex is evil himself or he is controlled by somebody evil that will not let him put Dr. Caldwell on that radio show. Either way, I got a problem with it. So you know, that's the main thing that we need to look at Alex Jones is, you know, look at his news, but understand that the devil will tell you sweet lies, you know, but that one time that you need the truth, he will hide that from you or he'll subvert it. So until Alex Jones comes clean on all these things that I bring up and others have brought up that are guaranteed fact, I've got the tape on him saying it about, you know, Lee Want and so forth, then I will never trust that man. I will never trust him. Because if you lie to me, you know how it is, Vinny. When you got a guy around you or a girl and you catch her in a bunch of lies, you can never trust that girl again. I mean, unless they repent and actually, you know, have a come to Jesus moment and actually have a repent, you know, repent those lies. And Alex Jones has never repented for his lies. Therefore,
this is ironic because he's very, very deeply Christian and is quite vocal about it on air. And the nature of deception is to tell everybody the opposite of what you really are.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You cannot be a Christian and tell a lie, a knowing lie. Now, if you said something that wasn't true, that's not the same thing, because that's ignorance, okay? But if you tell a known lie and you do not repent for it, you, by definition, cannot be a Christian. You're not walking with God. Liars, you know, liars don't get into heaven. So Alex Jones will have to repent for his lies. That's a fact. He has to do that before God. You know, I'm not here to judge him. I'm just here to say I know 100% that he has lied, and that's why I came out with the information. And, you know, quite frankly, I think it's done some good because I see Alex Jones. We have to keep him honest because since he has leadership role, I want to push him. I want him to get hardcore, whatever it takes, because, you know, we have to kind of use him in a way because he does have the biggest voice. So in a way, I really did this to make him work even harder and to try to gain back the credibility or whatever and show us solutions, because that's the other thing, Vinny. He's had 17 years in this business. How many petitions has he put out there to recall people in Congress? Because you can do a recall petition and start pulling people. You can start doing lawsuits against us. And one more thing before I forget. Stu Webb, when he met Jones, only needed $50,000 to put about, by estimates of lawyers, because they have figured out the fraud from the Bush-Clinton crime syndicate, Leonard Milne and all this stuff. They've calculated that if it went to court and you did all the suits that were necessary or whatever, that they could potentially recover anywhere from $200 to $300 trillion for the American taxpayers. Because you got to understand, Leonard Milman was the dad of the woman that Stu married. He was worth $30 trillion by himself, which was all based on fraud. Now, most people don't realize this. I know you've heard this from Stu, but Daddy Bush, by estimates, is worth, I mean, of course, Milman worked for Bush, so of course Bush had more money. They estimate that he has at least $80 trillion by just alone. Most people that say, that's impossible. He only supposed to have $5 million, because that's what he put when he was president. He told everybody he was only worth $5 million.
Hello, do you know what you can do in order to conceal your wealth? You put everything into trust. One of the Kennedys, for example, was being sued by a woman for sexual harassment, and the lawyers of him told that woman, you're not going to be able to get anything out of him because he doesn't own anything.
Right. So, anyway, you know, here's the thing, is if Alex Jones was a real patriot, real, you know, unbiased person like yourself that doesn't stop people from coming on, if he would have just given Stu Webb a segment and said, hey guys, this guy's being abused by the Bush crime syndicate. He's, you know, he's got FBI hitmen going after him. We need to raise him some money. If he would have just done that, then I would have known he was real. He could have potentially already, this lawsuit would have already been over. We would have had a bunch of New World Order pigs in prison already. But what does he do? He tells John Staff, oh, I don't think he's real. he's not real. That's why his information was used in Congress in the housing, in the savings and loans crisis, and put people in jail. That's why his information was created over 8 books. You don't tell somebody he's not credible. Okay, that's just a cop-out that he had to say so they wouldn't, you know, pursue it. But, you know, that ended up costing a couple of people their jobs because they wanted to still interview Stu, and they got kicked off the network, as you know. So that's my problem with Jones. Ultimately, no solutions. There's many solutions that Stu talks about. Things like I said, petitions to recall Congress, lawsuits that, you know, could have already been funded with Jones's money. But what has he done? Let's think about this. He just raised $500,000 in his last money bomb, people. That's what he says anyway. So what's he doing with that money? Oh, he's going to get bigger studios, hire more people. Well, that's okay. And that would be fine if he was also doing solutions. We're not this game. If I think, let's think about it. He's done no solutions in 17 years. What happens if he does another 17 years with no solutions? I mean, we're all dead by then. I mean, we're dead. The New World Order wins.
I just think about myself and the role that I play. I had a very long conversation with my former co-host, Will Ryan, the other night. And I was just thinking about this. Let's say I wanted to stop the government from being tyrannical. I can't. Let's say I wanted to stop Monsanto from selling GMO food. I can't. The only thing I can do, really, is talk about these things and let people know about them. I believe the role of the media is that, and that in specificity. Solutions are somebody else's problem in a large degree, you know, and that's like abdicating personal responsibility, I know, but it's like you've got so many things you want to do. Just getting information out, on the other hand, is so time-consuming and so extraordinarily hard to do. To that, on top of that, be the solution provider as well. It's actually taking away the responsibility of all other people's personal responsibility as well. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here, really.
What I'm saying is it would be so easy for him to use his websites to let people organize state by state and actually provide a framework. He could have said, I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas here, but I mean, seriously, the first Saturday of every month could have been petition day, you know, where we go out neighborhood by neighborhood. I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's not going to get done by the media. It's too controlled. I mean, we got to take this country back house by house.
Yeah, indeed, street by street. And we'll be right back after the break with Glenn Kennedy from InSearch.com.
The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with us. Our needs are now different and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And you know what? Whenever people are criticising Alex Jones, they run great risk of being, destroyed by Alex Jones fans. Like, see, I've seen it happen, man. It's basically career suicide, and I'm taking great risk, and kind of like there's this little voice in my head going, Vinny, stop talking about this, change the subject.
Well, I don't worry about it, because, you know, number one, we've exposed people, and I know you talked about it with Stu, but you know, we've exposed the satanic sacrifices in Denver by the most evil men on the planet, the Council of 13, we were all over that story big time. So, I mean, when you deal with that, you know, Alex Jones is just a gnat on an elephant compared to these people. So, you know, I've said my piece about Alex Jones. I've got the information. You know what? I know people believe my information because when I look at my YouTube videos, I get way more thumbs up than thumbs down. And I understand. You understand, if I would have had the information that I have given people back when I first knew about Jones, I would have never, you know, carried his water because I said, wait a second, he's censoring cancer cures. Wait a second, he censored a Marine whistleblower that his information was used to Congress. Warning, something doesn't seem right here. Why is he doing this? You know, so I guarantee you 100% that if you look at my information, you know something isn't right. And I do it because I want to push Jones. I want him to repent. I want him to join the good side of the force. Quit lying about Judy Woods and space beams and all this garbage. You know, it was funny, you know, because Stu, as you know, has really been vindicated over the last 6 months. I mean, first, Gordon Duff, that tremendous interview that you can see on YouTube. If you just Google Stu Webb, Gordon Duff, awesome interview. He verified everything Stu Webb has said. He said, he even said on the show, hey, Stu, if it wasn't for you, we would have never even known about this Mailman guy and all this stuff that was going on in the mafia and so forth. So, I mean, Stu Webb's a patriot. I'm just going to say that. And that's all I want to say is, I hope Alex Jones has a come to Jesus moment, stops lying and repents for his lies, because and I do disagree with one thing he said, Vinny. I understand that the normal job of the media isn't to take a side. I understand all that, but we're literally in a fight for life and death here. And even if Jones doesn't want to provide a solution, he knows as well as I, if not more, because he's been in this game a lot longer than I have. And I don't do this also out of jealousy, so don't even go there. I could care less. I'm a team player. You know,
it's funny that you should mention that, because that was exactly what I was about to say, because if anybody comes out and criticizes Alex Jones, they get accused of jealousy or basically it's lonely at the top. I want to be him, therefore, and I can't be him, so therefore I'll criticize him and bring him down to my level. That's what we get accused of.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing, guys. Number one, I'm not even in this game anymore. I only came on this interview because I had promised you before I'd even changed our format that I would talk about this. So, you know, I won't even be really doing much of these in the future, maybe a couple here and there, but overall I'm out of this game. I never wanted to be an Alex Jones. I just wanted to be a team player like you did. I started my site not thinking I was going to be an Alex, just wanting to be a part of the solution. I would have been so happy to find out Alex Jones was real, because quite frankly, Vinny, I can guarantee you this. I just know what I would have done in his position if I would have had, you know, been an exact same position. Because number one, he was a millionaire before he even started. Stu found that information out from, he got relatives, he inherited money, just say that. So he's worth some money before he got big like he is now. But regardless, he's pulled in millions of dollars. He's got the bunker, you know, under his house that he's working on. So he's very well taken care of, and it all makes sense if he is pushing some kind of agenda. And like I said, I'm not jealous at all, because I want, if Alex Jones was real, we would have already won this war. I really do believe that, because here's why. Number one, he would have funded Stu Webb's lawsuits, and Stu Webb alone could have done some major damage. He's, you know, he needs lawyers, he needs money, but that would have been simple for Alex Jones. I mean, he could have raised $50,000 in an afternoon, literally. I mean, no problem. So don't sit there and tell me that that's okay, that Alex Jones didn't fund a super patriot called Stu Webb. Because anybody that's real in this business, you know, will tell you Stu Webb is legit. He is legit. You know, he is classified as a federal whistleblower. He's got great information. That's why they try to kill him so many times, guys. They're not going to try to kill him if he's no threat, okay? So it's never okay to censor somebody like Stu. So my only thing is, if he doesn't want to be part of the solution, then why didn't he ever build somebody else up that could have done that and said, hey, everybody, Go over to Vinny's site. Go over to Project Inch. Whatever. It's like, I don't even want that position because, like I said, I'm all about spreading the information as far as getting people right with God, because without God, we're doomed anyway. But I'm just saying, anybody else that's legit, like you, Pete Santilli, there's only a handful of people that I trust, because you guys are the only ones that haven't censored the information. And I've been watching you. You've been doing a great job out there. And Pete Santilli's done a very good job, and just a handful of others. But everybody else, like Intel Hub, oh, we don't want to talk to Stu Webb. Oh, it's like, what?
You know,
you're a fraud.
To a large extent, I think the whole concept of trust is actually quite dangerous, because you can trust somebody to be honest, but they could be wrong. And if you're trusting somebody's information or whatever, knowing that they could be wrong, you know, you can lead yourself down several garden paths. And it's like, you can trust somebody's integrity, but you can basically never trust somebody's information unless you've really looked into it and researched into yourself to confirmation. Like, you have to be a constant skeptic, particularly of the people you love and trust. I mean, that's the reason why finding out the truth about Alex Jones offended me and threw me for such a loop, and actually really depressed me because of the enormous amount of trust that I put in him. It's like, you put somebody up on a pedestal, okay? And right. Once they fall off that pedestal, you, the person who put them up there, who's been supporting them all this time, are the one who gets crushed when they fall.
Yeah. And it's upsetting because you trust this guy, and then all of a sudden you find out, wait a second, he's the biggest out there, he's got the most reach, and he's not real, he's got some kind of agenda that I didn't know about. Then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't trust anybody basically at the top.
Yeah. And maybe that's part of the agenda, is so that everybody is so distrust. And here's the thing, what are friendships and relationships supposed to be based on? They're supposed to be based on trust, okay? Right. If you don't have trust in a friendship, if you don't have trust in your partner that you're in a relationship with, you don't have a friendship, you don't have a relationship. It's just that simple.
That's right. And
yeah. If you get, and I've met too many people who are damaged goods, who have had their trust violated, and they're unable to trust anybody ever again, and in so doing, they're incapable of having a real human relationship ever again.
That's true. You're right about that. I mean, I always trust people until I have a reason not to. Because you can't live like that. You cannot, I don't trust anybody anymore. I will trust somebody until I basically catch them in lies and catch them deceiving. And they don't. And when you bring it to their attention, that's the other thing is, I have a big problem when I can't reach people in this business. You know what I mean? Like, I can reach you. I could never reach Alex. I could never reach Mark Dice. You know, I could never, you know, all these people that are unreachable ever, no matter how many emails, no matter, you know what I'm saying? It's like they get their little cubby hole and they're isolated. Then they can say, oh, you know, it's always, you hear that on the air all the time. Alex, I sent you 5 emails. Didn't you get them? Oh, send it to me again. It's like, I seriously think every email that goes to InfoWars just goes down the toilet or something, because hundreds of emails
like
were never returned. Hundreds. Okay.
It's not entirely dissimilar from how politicians respond to things, you know, like I think I ambushed the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Mr. John Key, used to work for the Fed, Federal Reserve, in charge of derivatives for 2 years in New York, and talked to him about world government. He goes, oh, send me a letter. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You're not going to read that letter. Why do you think I'm ambushing you?
Send a letter. I like that. But I mean, here's the thing, guys, you know, and I've said pretty much the main points about Alex Jones. You've covered it, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, don't ever go to his website. I mean, use some of his information if it's good information, but don't, like you said, don't trust any one source. And I can't trust a liar, period. I cannot trust somebody I know is a liar. So that's why I put out this information, because I just want you to know, you're not going to be saved by Alex Jones, in my opinion.
Well, here's an encapsulated view for you. If you want to wake people up,
Kind of like if you want to give them a drug that'll get them hooked on the truth, give them Alex Jones. Seriously, he wakes people up like nobody's business. But you must evolve from that.
Right.
Okay? You can't just be hooked on a substance and never give it up, because it will destroy you, essentially. And that's essentially what it is about. You know, introduce yourself to the truth. He's remarkably better at that. I can't find anybody that's better at waking people up than him, as try as I might. But again, he's not the be all and end all. Nobody is. We're all human. We're all flawed. And we'll also be right back, because we've got commercial breaks with Glenn Kennedy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and also AmericanFreedomRadio.com. By the way, there's an ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com with me talking about, you know, how great American Freedom Radio is, and all the hosts, and how we all sacrifice, and how we got all this great integrity and whatnot. Now, I didn't just make all that up. You know who did? The listeners. I had a call with a number of listeners to my show on Skype, and I said to them, right, guys, we're going to make an ad for American Freedom Radio, because those guys over there are really, really overworked, okay? You don't know just how much responsibilities these guys are taking on, okay? Seriously, it is beyond a joke. They need a hell of a lot of help and a hell of a lot of support. Anybody who tells them to do this, that, or the other, trust me, that's creating more work for them that they're simply not capable of doing, because they don't have the time, resources, etc. And money becomes a big, big factor. If you're doing something for the truth, really doing something for the truth, and you're pulling no punches, you're not censoring stuff, and you've got taboo topics and things like that, getting advertisers, getting revenue becomes almost an impossibility. Getting donations, on the other hand, from people who truly believe in what you're doing is much, much more likely. So that's why I did that ad for them, to encourage people to donate and click the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com to simply do what people donate to me for. Just keep up the good work. Many people say, keep up the good work, but very few people actually help in many forms to keep up the good work. Words of encouragement are fine, but they're just words at the end of the day. And if American Freedom Radio must do more, I believe the audience and myself and everybody involved with this network must also do more. There is so much at stake, really. Now, I want to close off this Alex Jones things by saying this. There are currently 4 Infowars.com stickers on my car. So whenever I'm driving around, I'm advertising Infowars.com. There aren't even any Vinny Eastwood Show stickers, because I'm too broke to get them printed. Okay? So even though I may disagree, and even though I know about some of the bad things he has done, I am not stupid enough to think that the truth movement doesn't need him anymore.
Right.
Okay, and that's all I'll say. And I want to change the subject now, and get onto something you've.
Let's talk about aliens.
Shoot,
you want to go in a totally different direction?
let's
throw some other people under the bus. Not really. Let me just say this: I love everybody. Okay, I love Alex Jones. I really do want the Lord to bring him to salvation someday, and stop that. But, and because here's the thing, I don't, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the Jews do everything. But, you know, before you start blaming the Jews, you got to understand something. You got to read your Bible. The Jews are God's chosen people. Okay. That's a fact. Now, a lot of people say, but they're doing evil. Yes. There's a lot of Jews that don't believe in God. There's a lot of Jews. Of course, most of them, almost all of them, don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So they're wrong on that, okay? They are wrong, 100% they're wrong on that. But it's not our place to judge that. God will judge the Jews, but it says in the Bible, the Jews will go astray, they will do evil, they will do all these things, but in the end, when Israel gets attacked from all sides, which you can see is already starting to happen, I mean, you got Obama appointing this Secretary of Defense that hates Israel. So, I mean, you can see that America is pulling back from Israel. And you know what? At first, you know, when you start really getting into the truth, you see some of the bad stuff Israel does. And I'm not saying they haven't done a lot of evil stuff, but here's what I'm saying. They're still God's people, and they will be given a chance to bend their knee and to have their tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, just like the Muslims will, just like everybody else, okay? So that's why I say you don't want to be attacking Israel, because it says in the Bible very clearly that God will destroy all those that attack Israel. That's a guarantee, okay? Everything that's been predicted in the Bible has come true. So that's why you should not attack the Jews and say they're the part of the problem. But I'm going to talk now about aliens, because I love Kerry Cassidy as a person. I really do. I think that she's got a good heart, okay? But her, along with David Wilcock, I've got some problems with David Wilcock, even almost more so than Kerry. Let me just, and since we're talking about hosts, we might as well talk about David Wilcock. Have you ever interviewed David Wilcock before, Benny?
He's one of those people that is also impossible to contact.
Oh, really? Well, here's my problem, okay? And I love Dave. I think he's a great writer. I hold out hope for him, and I hope he hears this interview, because I'm going to say this right now. I'm reaching out to David Wilcock, and I want him to start serving the Lord, because let me tell you something. The Bible is very clear about psychics, and it's one of the reasons that, you know, before we even changed to an all-Christian format, we got rid of all psychics, because it says in the Bible that psychics get their information from the dark side. Now people say, that's not true. One time I went to a psychic and she was exactly right. Okay, think about this. Vinny, have you ever heard of a psychic that's 100% accurate? That's always right?
There's a person in New Zealand called, what was her name? Crookshank, I think, yeah. Who the police use in investigations. There was a program done on it called Sensing Murder, right. And they've helped them to solve these unsolved mysteries that have been unsolved for like 30, 40 years.
Right.
And every single time they've been correct.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if you look at her overall history, there's been times where she's been wrong about something. I can promise you, because here's the thing. The difference
there's an editing. I'm sure that there's an editing process that they leave out certain things in order to maintain credibility. Program. Sure.
If you are 100% right, you're not a psychic. You're a prophet. You are getting that information from God, and God is talking to you directly. He's not talking to you to Ra. Okay, did you know that David Wilcock channels Ra? If you do a search after the show, just type in David Wilcock channels Ra on YouTube. You should. I made a funny video of it too, but it's on there right there in the fourth position, my video. There's another one above it. But listen to this. In one of the sections, he even has a quote in there, and he's talking like Ra. This is Ra. You know, one of his little things is, to boldly go where no man has gone before. You know, the line out of Star Trek. And I even say, if Ra watches Star Trek, I'm the Easter Bunny, okay? Because I guarantee you, you are not talking to Ra, first of all. Number two, anytime you're not talking to God directly, you're talking to the devil, okay? And what you said is correct. There's some psychics out there that work with police, and they do find dead bodies. But you got to understand, they're working with spirit. They're working with demons. And there's some demons that want to get recognized. They want to say, oh, I want to help this person, you know, and they'll give them some information. But what I'm telling you is, if you go to a psychic for advice, because I'm saying this from experience. Okay, before I knew it was wrong against God's word, I went to psychics. Believe me, I known some of the best psychics in the world that work with police departments myself. Okay, and this lady that I know is very, very good, but she isn't 100% accurate, and she does have a very dark side to her that I saw later. I'm not going to name her name. But what the Bible says is soothsayers, horoscopes, you know, the tarot cards, all that is against God's word. David Wilcock does all that stuff, okay? I will never trust anybody that breaks God's word in the Bible. Okay? And there's going to be some David Wilcock fans that are upset at what I'm going to tell them. But I'm going to tell you straight up, guys, if you follow psychics for advice, you will be destroyed at some point. They might give you 9 answers in a row right, but it's that 10th one that's critical to your life. Should I marry this person or whatever? The devil will use that person to slip in that thing when you least expect it. You will go down a wrong road. You will be destroyed by psychics. So my problem with David Wilcock is this. I've contacted him many times to tell him about Stu Webb's real lawsuits and his real information about Lee Wanta. Okay, Lee Wanta, real, okay? David Wilcock won't talk about it, will never respond to me. I told him, look, buddy, I don't agree with your channeling, but if you'll just interview Stu Webb, I got no problems with you, you know, whatever you want to do. If you want to continue channeling, whatever. But I'll even take down my video because all I want is the truth out there. So what is David Wilcock doing right now to the truth community? And the reason I talk about this, he has a huge website, Vinny, as you know. I mean, I've seen articles. They literally get 400,000 hits, you know, 100,000 shares, okay? I tell them, go cover the Wanta stuff. Cover something real instead of this stuff that he's going on right now about this Keenan lawsuit or whatever, and it never happens, and he tells everybody, oh, guys, I found out my photos were fake. I'm trying to figure it out. It's like, dude, talk about real stuff. You know, Lee Wanta, Stu Webb, the real stuff. He refuses to talk about that stuff. And I know why now, because he has gone down the road of thinking that the devil is going to give him the right answer. So he is leading all his followers straight to hell. Basically, if they don't repent for, you know, believing in Ra more than the Bible, you know, they aren't going to be happy campers when they die, okay? Everybody can be saved. I mean, you could follow Ra until your deathbed and then have revelation, oh, my God, I have sinned against God. God will forgive you on your deathbed, okay? But what I'm saying is, what upsets me about Wilcock is he could be using his platform to spread the truth about God and Jesus Christ instead of lying to people and telling them that Jesus Christ was just another one of dozens of ascended masters. It's like, hello? No. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's not an ascended master like Buddha. I mean,
can I share an experience? Yeah. Wilcock came to New Zealand, and my friend John Eisen gave them a page spread in his magazine, Uncensored. And he said that, oh, they'd given me 2 free tickets. Why don't you take them, Vinny, because I'm just not going to go. So I went there, but my friend Barry had actually bought me a ticket, and my girlfriend wanted to go, so I bought her a ticket, and they were like $160. And there were maybe 200 people there or so. And the rigmarole, because I'd purchased my ticket in preparation, thinking that maybe they wouldn't be getting complimentary tickets for my friend Ryan. And sure enough, I was correct. They didn't have they didn't have any of that. And I was just there to promote him, and I'd mentioned his conference on the radio a number of times and things like that. And all I wanted to do was meet him for like 30 seconds, grab a snapshot of me with him, you know, or whatever, just to say thank you very much for coming to New Zealand. You know, I had to pay like an extra $100 or something like that to go into the next room with him, and even then probably wouldn't even be able to get a photo with him or whatever. So, despite that, I still took his promotional tour manager from Veritas magazine outside, and we talked about this. And you know, I've got to say,
Wilcock, so funny. Really, really funny. Hilarious guy. Really brilliant at what he does. Now, I don't know about you, but I was once part of, unwittingly, of course, a cult, right? It was in South Auckland here, run by a guy named Shane Wenzel, you know? Just right. One of those classic type things. He's like bringing in truthers saying, oh, we're gonna use all these legal arguments to get the government out of our lives and things like that. We're going to set up our own independent shop with our own media and our own companies and our own government branches and what have you. It's a cult. And I felt really inspired when I was first part of that, but then I realized how much of a psychopath he was, and I got the hell out of there. and that same sort of inspiration, that, wow, that's so cool, sort of feeling, was exactly the same sort of thing that I got out of David Wilcock. And ever since December 21st, 2012, passed without incident,
he didn't Wilcock
and every other person who was rabbiting on about 2012 being either A1, the end of the world, or B2, we're going to transform into some kind of trans-dimensional fifth dimension beings with rabbit ears of the cosmos to pick up signals and auras and all of that kind of stuff, which David Wilcock was talking about, nothing happened. Now, back in the day, you know what happened to people who made predictions that didn't come true?
They got
slain by the people. They got manipulated by them.
What do they say in the Old Testament? If there's any soothsayers or psychics, basically people channeling, they would stone them. I'm not saying we should stone David. I love David as a person, but okay. The problem is he went away from the Bible. The Bible says nobody knows when the world will end, okay? Only God knows. Not even Jesus knows exactly what will happen. But he has got people involved in this. We're going to ascend. It's going to be magical. Oh, the aliens are going to save us. And that's my other problem with him is that, have you ever heard of a good alien, Vinny? I mean, literally, has an alien come to your house, knocked on your door and said, hey, Vinny, here's a free energy generator. I want this to come to the world. All I hear about aliens is they abduct people and stick things in their body against their will, and sometimes they core out their eyeballs and their rectums, and we're supposed to believe, you know, this Drake guy, and we're supposed to believe Stephen Greer and even Carrie. You know, I love Carrie as a person, but she's wrong about the aliens being our salvation. I can guarantee you this. The aliens are the fallen angels. And I know this from many different, not only the Bible, but also my own experiences and researching.
I can corroborate that a little bit. There are a number of articles in Uncensored Magazine, as I mentioned before, John Eisen, of people who have managed to prevent themselves being abducted.
Exactly.
and get themselves out of what they call sleep paralysis by uttering the word Jesus.
That's right. We'll cover that when we come back, because that's awesome that you knew that.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Glenn Kennedy from InSearch.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We got the lighter, the super writer, and the Jesus God complex thingy going on here. Oh yeah,
absolutely.
My very special guest is Glenn Kennedy, and I've noticed that I'm actually quite a blasphemous guy. You know, it's quite consistent with me, and I don't know. I reckon God has a sense of humor; otherwise, he wouldn't have created the platypus.
Hey, God never gives up on anybody. So, it doesn't matter what you believe now. It only matters what you believe before you die. You know, and that's why I tell people, get real. But go over what you were just saying about the abductions, because I was just going to mention that, and I think it's very interesting that you have already seen that, about the abductions being stopped.
Give me a second. I want to see if I can grab a visual aid from my desk around the back there. Just hold on a second.
Yeah, well, while you're doing that, I'll just talk about a little thing here. But yeah, you know, not only does it talk about these fallen angels, of course, in the Bible.
But and, of course, visual aids don't work well on radio, but the video is being recorded. So this is Uncensored Magazine. This is where I read the article of which I speak. Yeah. It's published in New Zealand and also has a distribution in the UK, thanks to Ian R. Crane. And what the article within it was telling me was a testimony from a deeply Christian religious person who had been repeatedly abducted by aliens. Okay, they'd been sleep paralysis. So when you're in bed and you wake up, yet your body's still asleep. You cannot move. Okay, and aliens surround you, and they materialize, like they're somehow capable of shifting in and out of visible light spectrum and just being able to just go and appear in front of you, seemingly out of nowhere, and be able to dematerialize and then rematerialize in different locations, apparently instantly. So there's something about them that would connote that they're transdimensional, as in not of this plane of existence. Sort of thing. They're not real. They're not physical entities. They are metaphysical. In other words, demonic, right? That and what this person found was, in order to disrupt the sleep paralysis, in order to stop being abducted, they would say the word Jesus, and it would be like in those films where somebody would hold a cross up to a vampire, and the vampire would go. It was like that. They would appear to burn and scream and disappear, as if the word has some kind of power to it. I don't know, like a magic word, like abracadabra, for instance.
Yeah, exactly, and it's a very magical word because it's real. You know, nobody's ever gotten rid of a demon by saying the word Ra, okay? But that's what David Wilcock is basically worshiping, Ra, okay? And I can tell you this, Vinny, I know for a fact that that word has power because I saw it one time in my own life so far that I can guarantee you. What happened was I was working late at night, and then as I research this stuff, I find out that most of these demonic things will happen, you know, between usually midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning or so forth. And that's what they say. Yeah, the witching hour, because the demons have their biggest power during that time. Now, I was staying up later than I usually did. I was pounding on the keyboard like at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's kind of unusual for me. Usually I crash around 12 or 1, and I was just getting a lot of work done in the zone or whatever. And all of a sudden, and I've never felt this before or since, I felt something evil, literally get close to me. I mean, come into the room that I was in, and I could just feel it. I mean, all the hairs on my body stood up, and then I started feeling something that felt like it was trying to get inside my body from the top of my head. I mean, literally, I felt something coming down, trying to get into my head. And as soon as it happened, I mean, I was starting to freak out. I was like, what is going on here? I've never felt it. And I just said, please, Jesus, help me. And as soon as I said that, boom, it was gone. I mean, literally, that whatever that thing was, that demonic force, was completely gone from my house. And it wasn't like it took a minute. It was, as soon as I said it, it was gone. And if anybody just types up, alien abduction stopped Jesus, stopped by Jesus, you'll find tons of articles out there. So last I heard, there was over 300, you know, verifiable people that say that their abduction was stopped in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that absolutely verifies everything in the Bible that says that we have dominions over the demons. And as you know, Stu Webb, he probably talked about it on your show, but he talked about how Leonard Millman summoned the Baphomet demon. You know, when these people, and I just want to say this, you know, when they do this rock and roll symbol, you know, with the little two fingers, everybody thinks that's like, oh, it just means rock and roll or whatever. No, that is the sign of Baphomet. That is the demonic sign. Now, what's really sick is that sign language used a very similar thing to say, I love you. It's very similar. But then when you do the research and find out who created sign language, you find that she was a Satanist.
Yeah, see, the only difference between them is that the sign of the devil is simply the hand up, the thumb enclosed onto the palm, and the two middle fingers took down. So it's horns only. And the I love you symbol is with the thumb outstended. So you have three digits outstended. That becomes love.
Yeah, but the person that did the sign language, if you research, I can't remember her name, but if you research her, she actually has satanic roots. So it's like, it's almost like she made that sign to say, I love you, devil.
I've got something incidentally for you. You know what the only two official languages of New Zealand are?
What?
The English language and sign language.
The sign language. And you guys,
I don't know
use
if that means
lot.
Anything.
But, you know, where we're going with this, guys, is that aliens, unlike what Greer, Wilcock, and even Carey is telling you, they're not going to save you, okay? They will never save you. Only you're going to be saved by Jesus Christ. And it doesn't believe, I know a lot of you don't believe in God, and some of you don't believe in Jesus, whatever. You got to realize this, though. If you study the Bible, you will see over 1,000 prophecies have come true, okay? No other book even comes 1% close to that. There is nothing. You can take all your Edgar Casey stuff and all your Nostradamus garbage and all that stuff. Nobody ever will come close to the Bible because it was inspired by God. It is true. People say, oh, it was changed. It's not true. Yeah, they changed a few words here and there, but what I've found is get a Bible, King James, get it one as old as you can. I found one, my mom found it actually in a garage sale that was 1942, and it was leather, and that was my favorite Bible. It just, for me, it was so much, it made more sense, because if you get something brand new, these new world scumbags have really gone in there and really done a number on the Bible. But the King James is the best. Get as old as you can, and it is God's word. Don't believe the lies out there. See, the New Age was created by the devil. You know, like it says in the movies and everything else.
Didn't Aleister Crowley say, nobody shall enter the New Age unless they have a Luciferian initiation or something like that? Who said that? I forget.
I don't know, but I absolutely believe that the entire New Age movement, because you always see these guys on they say it, love and light. You know, they say Lucifer is the angel of light or whatever they call him. You know, he's the illuminated one. It's love and light, people. This is no joke. You guys should be talking about Jesus and God. You don't want to be talking about the devil. I mean, like I said, look at what David Wilcock, getting his information from Raw, has given you. It's given you a 2012 where he didn't ascend. You know, now he's saying he's got a busted up foot or something, and he hasn't updated his site in a while. But I know he's getting a lot of heat because he hasn't really. He's kept a kind of a low profile since 21 or whatever.
My producer was really, really glad that nothing happened on 2012 because, quote, I don't have to listen to another New Ager ever again.
Exactly. And it's time to wake up. And guys, I'm not saying this because I don't like Wilcock, and because I like him. I really think that he could be a force out there for good. I'm trying to turn him to the good side of the force along with Carey, because, hey, I was wrong earlier in my life when I went to psychics, and I was, you know, I used to study more about UFOs than I did the Bible. Now I know that was wrong. I was more interested in the esoteric and the occult, and, you know, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. But now I understand it. There is something wrong with it. It all leads you down a road that you don't want to go. And that
it leads down to a road of moral relativism, and in my opinion, morality is something that is rigid. It's solid. There's no wiggle room. And I asked one Christian pastor, what's his name? I forget now. You know, if I do things like Jesus did, you know, like try to help the poor and the weak and the sick and all of that kind of stuff, does that count as me being good? And he says, no, absolutely not. It doesn't matter what you do unless you accept Jesus as your personal savior.
Right.
You're still going to hell, right? And I was just thinking about this. That's what morality actually is at the end of the day. That from which you cannot negotiate, you cannot escape. That's called having principles. And moral relativism is the lack of principles.
Right.
Purely.
And, you know, I mean, look at the Ten Commandments. I mean, which ones don't you believe in? Do you want to kill people? I mean, I don't think so. Do you want to lie? Do you want to steal? I mean, these are just, you know, these are good things. So really, it's not that hard to go to heaven. You just believe in Jesus Christ. And if you do the research, I mean, just like you said, Vinny, Jesus Christ, he's got power. Hello, stop 300 alien abductions. So even if you're into New Age and you haven't really been a Bible thumper, and I'm not saying I personally read the Bible before I go to bed. Even if you just read a page of it, two pages, whatever you can do, you will learn so much. And as you read it, you will get closer to God. And that's what it's all about. Nobody's perfect, Vinny. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Everybody listening to this is a sinner. But guess what? Jesus died for your sins. You don't have to be sinless to go to heaven. All you have to do is accept him as your Savior, follow the Ten Commandments. You know, I've done a lot of bad things in my life, you know, and I had to ask God to forgive all those things that I knew were wrong, you know. And that's all that you have to do is get real. Get real with God, and he'll get real with you and show him that he's real. He will, and all you have to do is serve him in some way. And it's not like he's telling you to go be some slave. I mean, the difference. Look at the difference between Muhammad.
If I may, it's about serving a greater cause, greater than yourself, and being persecuted and suffering as a result of it. That is what it means to be Christian, in my opinion.
That's right. You. Basically, and everybody's like, oh, you know, it's a cult, or, you know, they want to throw Christianity under the bus because some preacher got caught molesting little boys. You have to understand, that person wasn't a Christian. He wasn't walking with God when he did evil. He was, you know, the biggest thing Satan ever did was infiltrate the church, but you don't throw God and Jesus Christ under the bus because somebody that said they were a Christian, like George Bush, and so forth, that said they were Christians but didn't act like Christians. You don't do that. You cannot.
Well, I mean, look at it. You just take those straightforward Ten Commandments or whatever, and you take every single president that was allegedly a Christian, and you apply the Ten Commandments. Did they kill people? Yes, they did. Did they lie? Did they bear false witness? Did they do the this, that, and the other? Did they covet other women and other neighbors' wives? And all that? They broke right. every single commandment right. in the fracking book. They're not Christian.
Right. I mean, look at George Bush Senior and Junior. They were skull and bones. You can't be in skull and bones and be a Christian. The only way you could be a Christian is if you made a mistake, you joined it, and then you found Jesus, and you said, I renounce my membership in Skull and Bones. It was wrong. I serve the Lord now. He never did that. He will never. Well, I hope he does. I mean, that's what you do. You hope he does. I mean, if I was betting on it, I'd say probably not. But I wanted to say, if you want to pray for something, pray for people that are doing evil, that God brings to salvation. And if he can't bring him to salvation, take him off the planet.
Well, see, I mean, that's even it. Darth Vader, the most evil Sith Lord in the history of the galaxy far, far away, was able to be turned back to the good side at the end.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody can't be saved. You just right. got to make a choice. And that's, I think, what the greatest thing that we've been endowed with is choice.
That's right. You know, and this whole thing, it's really why I kind of backed away from what I was doing. And, you know, I've kind of been there, done that, got the T-shirt, you know, I got the abuse where it got the harassment and the phone taps and everything else. And you know what? I think it all served a purpose, you know, because now I really see what my purpose is I want to go to heaven someday. I want to serve the Lord. I want to take as many people as I can with me. I want them. Maybe they were like me. Maybe they were really into UFOs like I used to be. I mean, I used to be a UFO freak. I mean, I would read everything I could. And I thought that there was good aliens for a while. Now I know that's not true.
Well, I don't know. I think the ability of being a good, decent human being is basically just being able to admit when you've been wrong, admit when you've been deceived, and also try to make amends for it. I mean, I've talked to many people who've been wrong, been deceived, and admit it, but don't try and make amends. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. My very special guest is Glenn Kennedy from InSearch.com. Now, final segment here. I kind of wanted to divulge to people, I don't classify myself as Christian, yet I have many Christian beliefs and many Christian friends. I don't classify myself as Muslim either, yet I share some Muslim beliefs and have some Muslim friends. Same goes with Buddhism and all of these other different belief structures. But the thing that really governs my conduct is not being correct. It is doing what is right. And what I find the problem with the education system and established religions in a lot of cases is the obsession with doing the correct thing rather than doing the right thing, if you take my meaning. And most Christians who claim to be Christian are not.
That's right.
They do not follow what is real and what is true and what is right. They are what I call hypocrites.
Yeah. It's just a Facebook status thing for them, you know? It's like, oh, look, I'm Christian. It's on my Facebook. But, you know,
I've not even read the Bible. Not even a page.
Well, like I said, I like the New Testament just to start with, because it's just stuff about Jesus is awesome, and then go back into the Old Testament after you read the New Testament, because Jesus was the man. I mean, he was like Neo in the Matrix. He was the Neo. You know, literally, he just basically could do anything. So, I mean, and these stories, I mean, I want to tell you this. Have you ever heard of Ron Wyatt before?
No.
I only found out about him 6 months ago, but I'm going to plug my site before I forget my new site and stuff where we can talk about some of this stuff. But Ron Wyatt's on my YouTube channel for InSearch, and that YouTube channel is InSearch of Souls. So YouTube.com, the letter InSearchOfSouls. And in that YouTube channel, you will see all the Ron Wyatt videos. He proved the Red Sea crossing. He proved it. He went to the Red Sea, found the line of chariots, you know, when the Pharaoh sent the chariots after, and they were all in a line exactly where God told him it was going to be. He proved Sodom and Gomorrah was taken out by the brimstone. You know, he found the sulfur brimstone, showed it. You know, he proved Sinai seems to have been exposed to massive energy where God rested on Mount Sinai. He actually found the Ark of the Covenant, and he's the only one that was allowed to see it and to videotape it. Now, this is the only...
That's true. What was his name? Have you heard of Jonathan Gray, the archaeologist? He's been to those sites as well, and even found Noah's Ark, too. All of these things have been since proven by science, but they've been kept from us.
That's right. I mean, yeah, he's got a great video. If you type in Ronald Wyatt Noah's Ark, you'll find that he found Noah's Ark. And it wasn't on Mount Arafat, but it was close to it.
In the Ararat Ranges.
Yes,
next
exactly.
to a town that in Turkish translates directly as Noah's Big Boat.
Yeah, and he's got the stones with Mrs. Noah's name on it or whatever, and apparently there was a tomb where they found massive, somebody robbed it, but they claimed whoever robbed this tomb literally got away with $100 million worth of gold and jewels. And it's incredible. I mean, when Ron Wyatt did the ground penetrating radar of this site, he got the dimensions of the boat, and it was exactly what the Bible said down to the inch. I mean, this should be mainstream news everywhere.
550 cubits, you know, yeah. and it was quite extraordinary. Like they even found rivets, like proper metallic rivets, and they did metallurgical analysis to reveal that they were made with titanium. We haven't even been able to use titanium. We haven't had the technology to use it until the last like 50, 60 years.
Yeah, 50, 60 years, something like that. That's probably in the '50s or forties when they started playing with it. But yeah, I mean, you got to see Ron Wyatt's got the best information on Noah's Ark. You check it out on InSearch.com. We've got all his videos posted. And that's why I chose to do what I'm doing now, because I feel like I've done the alternative stuff. I've done the alien investigations, you know. I haven't seen any good aliens, and now I find out. And also, we did an interview with Ed Slade. Well, we didn't do it. We talked with Stu Webb, who did the interview, but he actually played the tapes that when he talked to Ed Slade, who worked at Area 51. He was an Area 51 scientist, and he claims that he did find out right toward the end of his career that the aliens at Area 51 were the fallen angels, just like it said in the Bible. They were the evil ones. And so that's what I actually believe. I believe it backs up what it says in the Bible, what you talked about, where alien abductions were stopped in the name of Jesus. That tails in with the Bible. And so that's the only thing I want to say. I want to reach out to Carrie. I think Carrie is getting more. She is becoming more aware of God. I've seen that in the last year. David Wilcock, not so much. But I believe that both of them should put in as much time as they've put into the other studies into Jesus Christ and God, people like Ron Wyatt, because I feel like they've gone astray, and I feel like they could do so much for God in the future, and I'll never give up on them. Just like God will never give up trying to get them to spread the word of God more, instead of saying that we're going to all magically ascend and we got to go to the pyramids and, you know, everybody, they always talk about somebody sick, send them energy. It's like, no.
See, this kind of promises and mentality seem like people don't want to live a life of pain and suffering. But if you've ever seen the movie The Princess Bride, life is pain, Highness. Anybody who says differently is selling something. Right, and here's another element that I want to bring into this. Pain and suffering is essential for evolving yourself, you know, strengthening yourself. You don't make a stronger bridge by only making a tiny little one and making sure that only one person crosses at a time. You make a stronger bridge by stress testing, sort of thing, much the same way as a human being who goes through huge quantities of trauma and suffering and survives it becomes strong. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And the example that I like to always cite about the power of just belief in a higher spirit, and I'm not 100% sure if it's confined just to belief in the higher spirit of Jesus or God. It might be true for other religious senses as well, but for the intents and purposes of this one, it was Vietnam soldiers who were in POW camps, and those who were atheists had no belief in God. When they were locked away in their cells with no hope of rescue, very little food to eat, and no encouragement, they died. when the soldiers who had a very strong belief in God were locked in the Weyers cells, they had a hugely improved survival rate because they were not alone.
Right.
Simply knowing that there is something there with you, or not even knowing, just believing that there is something greater than yourself that will never abandon you. That thing is called hope, right? That's, I think, what belief in a higher power essentially grants people. Hope springs eternal life, essentially. You cannot die.
Well, I want to cover one more thing, because I know how many minutes we get left, about five. Do you know how many minutes we have left?
1 minute.
About 1 minute. Guys, if you're on the fence about God, go to InSearch.com. Look at the top of that site. We've got people that have visited heaven and hell. And I got one challenge to all of you. If you're on the fence about God, God loves all of you. Make a challenge to God. Say, God, confess your sins and ask for something. Don't ask for $1 trillion. If you need a job, ask for a job and tell God, I can't get a job for a year, whatever it's been. If you'll give me a job and show me somehow that you're real, I will serve you in some way. If you just do that, I promise you will see wonderful things happen, because God will answer your prayers. You got to be 100% real with him and say, God, I want to believe in you, but I've never really had a relationship. I'd like to get a job. Ask for something reasonable, and he will provide it, and you'll see a change in your life. And I've really enjoyed this interview, and I think that you believe in God a lot more than you let on, because you are very up to date on things. So I just want to say,
I've had too many coincidences and experiences in my life to live life in denial of the knowledge of something more powerful than myself. To believe that I'm the most powerful entity that I'll ever encounter in this world is extremely arrogant. I just want to remain humble, and I want to do the right thing, and I just don't want to turn into the evil that I profess to fight against. And sure enough, so many of us do.
Hey, thanks, Benny. I've enjoyed it, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, my friend. All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Hopefully most of you haven't tuned out because of an aversion to Christianity of some kind, as happens a lot of the time. So thank you very much, and we appreciate your listenership and all of this kind of thing. Never want to belittle you. Never want to, you know, tell you what to think or what to do, whatever. Hey, it's all up to you. We've got free choice. And the fact that you're freely choosing to listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show is even more humbling than my perhaps belief in God, you know? We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn Kennedy, InSearch.com. See you again.